Just waiting for people to connect. Welcome. We have some people joining us. Maybe we are going to wait 1 or 2 minutes to see if others can join. Okay, maybe we can start. Welcome everybody. People are joining us, and it's good news. There's a lot of webinars right now, and you need to to prove some value to have people attending your webinar. We are on an industrial growth podcast, and today my guest for this webinar is Darren Smith. Darren, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Awesome to be here.
Before we dive into the topic, can you maybe present yourself and introduce yourself? I'll let you do.
Yes, I am the Chief Strategy Officer at Hubble. Hubble's a brand new brand that's only been around for just over a month. It's come together because Empel, the agency that I was one of the founders at, and B2B Marketing Lab have joined forces. Making us a HubSpot Elite partner, with, offices all over the world. My role, is kind of very much got a strategic focus, looking at where we're going and kind of what we're doing and the services and solutions required, based on what's happening around the world. Obviously now, in the pandemic we find ourselves in now, it's, there's lots of thinking and planning to be done. But then on a day-to-day basis, when there aren't all these crazy things, it needs just as much, planning and thinking.
You chose the right time to, to make the merge, but I'm sure that you have one of the biggest partner in the world, with, offices in, I remember London,
Singapore, Germany, and South Africa. Yes. So, I don't think there is another HubSpot partner with, that many, offices in, on all those different continents.
Okay, thank you, Darren, for this introduction. We are going to to talk today about e-commerce for manufacturers and distributors. This is a hot topic. In fact, it has been a hot topic from maybe a few years. But today it's becoming more and more important. We need to go digital. We've just seen that this is something possible. There was a lot of people saying that you can't sell manufacturing product without going check the people, without seeing people face to face. We see today that this is something possible, and this is something you need to do if you want to grow your manufacturing company. If you are already big, this is a great way to distribute and to have a new channel for your product, to make some business around the places you are not today. And if you are maybe more smaller than big companies, it's a huge opportunity to sell around the world. Darren, what do you think it's important right now? Do you think people can buy complex product like manufacturing product through e-commerce? Is it something we can do today?
Yeah, I think it's something that people have been able to do for a long time, but there was a belief that it was not possible to be done online and digitally. But I think this pandemic that we've been through now has shown people who are all working from home and have had to continue to try and do business that it is possible. It's very different to going and buying your groceries or iTunes or a book from Amazon online. It's more, it requires more physical kind of engagement, video conferencing, but it's all done digitally. And I think, you know, one of the things that I've certainly seen is certain markets have said that there's a skill shortage and they're finding it difficult to find people to work for them. And now suddenly they've realized, hey, some of my best people are working from home and it's actually working. So I no longer need to get somebody that lives in my city that comes to work in my city. You can have some. You can go and look for the best people. You may be a company with a head office in Paris, but maybe the best supply chain manager is sitting in Boston. And there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to hire that person. And digital is just going to help you do that. So I think digital, the stuff that we've gone through now has just highlighted that it is possible to do things this way.
You can't have a sales team everywhere in the world, so you it's a huge opportunity to have more productivity in the way you sell your product. Sustainability is a hot topic too. We see that the planet say thank you today to the COVID-19, the coronavirus, but we should be more we should pay more attention to our carbon footprint, and this is something we can do to help the planet.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the areas that we work a huge amount with is in medical and healthcare. And we see that often a hospital, for example, will order a lot of product just in case they need it, because it is difficult to order. But with B2B e-commerce, it makes it so much easier for a hospital procurement manager to be able to go on and order just what they want, or order so set up a complex order that the delivery happens in stages. So you may pay for 200,000 syringes, but maybe you only want 10,000 delivered a week. But it just makes so much easier when you can do it online and you don't have to find places to store the stuff that you've ordered and so on. And I think that helps with sustainability from a huge point of view, because you're not just, ordering stuff that may not get used, may get old, may get outdated, may expire.
Thank you. One, maybe the The big challenge when you think about e-commerce, who do we need to think about it? Is it a new tool? Is it a tool we give to our sales team? How do you manage the new channel between all the channel you already have in the company?
I think people have often thought of e-commerce as a channel. So they sometimes create a division. They decide to create a e-commerce division. Sometimes they even do it under a different brand. And that division is responsible for online and digital sales. The problem with that thinking though is what about you may have a certain region and that is doing normal sales activity and they want to enable their customers to order online. So where do those customers now go and order? You may have a specific industry that you serve in, and the vice president of that industry or the vice president of that sector wants to improve the customer experience and make it easier for customers to track their orders, place orders. That can't mean that all those customers now suddenly switch over to the e-commerce channel. So I think what's really important is for companies to stop thinking of e-commerce as a channel and rather think of e-commerce as a tool for all channels. Yeah. And I think what's really important then is that you don't, each channel and each channel leader doesn't go and do e-commerce in a silo by themselves, because that way you're going to end up with extreme channel conflict where people see different prices, they see different product descriptions, they see different images. It doesn't make sense. You need to have a brand, a manufacturer or distributor needs to decide, right, we're going to go e-commerce. These are all our channels that we currently serve in, and how are we going to enable them to do business digitally?
Maybe what is very important here, you need to think e-commerce as a new tool for your customers, not only for your own company or for your processes. You need to see the customer experience for the maybe the main reason to develop an e-commerce platform. How do you make business with your company easy? How do you make your customer buy your product easily everywhere in the world? Maybe even if you don't have sales team in a specific region or country.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing that rolling out e-commerce does is it forces you to define the rules between the different channels. Because when you're not selling online, you know, a customer may call in and they get through to a specific salesperson and that salesperson helps them, but it was the wrong salesperson and they get a different price list that they weren't supposed to know that existed. And then the VP of one channel gets upset with the other one and they have a meeting and then they agree that they will no longer serve this type of customer, and any customer that, you know, is based in Europe goes to this office or this type of sales team, and they make an agreement, but then that VP changes jobs and everybody forgets about the rule, and then it happens again, and there's no defined rules. When it comes to e-commerce, those rules are programmed into your e-commerce system. So there's no gray area, it's black and white. And so it's really, really helpful for companies. Just by rolling out e-commerce, it forces them to think about the channel rules that they need to set up.
Yeah, you need to clean the house before deploying an e-commerce platform.
Yeah.
This is something very interesting. I've seen sometimes through manufacturing companies, the sales team are... I should not say this, but sometimes they are a little bit old school sales team, and they may see the e-commerce platform as a competitor or as something that they don't see it like an opportunity. Most of the time, they can see this like something we add to the sales process. And we see that sometimes they don't want customers go to the e-commerce platform. how can you manage the new role of sales team in a e-commerce world when you have this kind of tool in the company?
Yeah, I think it's really important because salespeople have gone from being kind of order takers to becoming consultants. Many of them are focused on a specific industry or a specific region. They really understand their customers' businesses. They even help their customers define new business models, new markets, go-to-market strategies. So they've evolved from just, processing orders to being actively involved in the client's business. And if we are working on customer experience and we're enabling our customers to place orders online when they want to, how they want to, wherever they are, they don't have to be sitting next to a fax machine, as an example. We still need to credit the salesperson or the consultant that's been involved. It may have taken 20 years for a particular salesperson to build a trusting relationship with a particular customer. And just because that customer has decided to place their order online as opposed to calling or emailing the salesperson, it should not negatively impact that salesperson. That salesperson should get the commission and get the credit for that sale.
So you can manage this today in an e-commerce platform, but you have to define as well the rules before you launch this kind of solution.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's going to, the previous slides where we spoke about e-commerce is a tool for a channel. So it's really important that your e-commerce, for example, is integrated with your CRM so that when a particular customer logs on, you can see immediately we know who the salesperson is linked to this particular customer.
We shouldn't you should not do it by hand. You should have it automated. Help me with the English. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the one thing is adopting e-commerce, but a big part of it is actual digital transformation. How are you using digital to automate your entire business?
Just a question before we dive into the new slide. Do you need to have your sales team? Do you need to make some work before launch an e-commerce platform around the digitalization of your sales workforce? Do you need a sales team already digitalized, already using a lot of CRM to be able to launch an e-commerce platform? Or can we launch it and learn and educate the sales team on the channels together? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think if you've got a CRM running already and you're already doing something digitally, obviously it's going to be faster and quicker. Having to roll out e-commerce and then teach a sales team how to engage digitally is a much bigger project. But you have to get started somewhere. And one of the things that I always warn manufacturers and distributors about is don't go and build the Ferrari and then expect everybody to know how to use it and drive it. Start smaller and use it as an evolution. Going digital and going e-commerce isn't a project. It's a way of working, and you've got to start somewhere. And whether that is you have CRM running and some digital elements already, or whether your first step is going to be you're going to just launch two products online, maybe your two most complex products or your two most simple products, whatever the strategy is, you've got to start somewhere.
So we don't need to build the Ferrari, as you just say. We can start smaller and we can learn, test, and build something bigger when you have the data and the right mindset.
Exactly.
What is this slide is all about? Digital means instant spreadsheets, not scalable. can you explain it?
So, you know, the relationship between manufacturer and distributor has evolved hugely. Before, you know, the manufacturer used to create an annual product catalog. And in that product catalog is all the product descriptions, the images. Maybe at the back of the catalog, there's a page that you can tear out and record what you want to order. And every single time the salesperson comes around to your office, you open up the catalog and you can look through the catalog. Mm-hmm. Now, things have changed, and with digital, everything has become, there's a need for everything to be instant. Now that becomes a real big problem for distributors, because what happens if a distributor is each working with 100 different manufacturers, or maybe, yeah, maybe 10 manufacturers, but each of those manufacturers have 1,000 SKUs, and those SKUs are getting updated throughout the year. And we know that a major source of differentiation for many manufacturers is being first to market and innovating. And so you can't have your distributors having outdated information on their websites and in their catalogs. So and once again, we work a huge amount with in medical, and sometimes with the medical products, something bad happens. Maybe somebody dies from taking a specific type of medicine, yeah, that's been manufactured, and a warning needs to be put onto every single product description. Now, if you've got 100 distributors, how do you get all that information out there quickly and make sure that they have it done? So digital, as much as it's helping us a huge amount and making and providing a good customer experience, it's also creating difficulties for both manufacturers who need to get that information out there and distributors who need to constantly change that information. I've heard of certain manufacturers and distributors that have a team of up to 10 people that all they're doing is getting spreadsheets from manufacturers, updating it on their ERP systems and their CRM systems and their e-commerce systems. And then on the manufacturer's side, they have a team of 10 people because distributors are asking for information in different formats and so on. So there's a huge amount of effort that goes into keeping everything updated.
Yeah. So this is a great way to keep everything update.
Yeah.
What about the PIM, the Product Information Management? We have some maybe big manufacturers using this kind of a software. We need to use this kind of software to have a unique place for all the product information. But if you work with a lot of distributors if you are distributors and you are working with a lot of manufacturers, you need to use the same software than the manufacturers. How does it work?
Yeah, so you know, you can see here that this grid that we're showing on the screen now comes from G2.com, and on their software comparison engine, they've got 114 different pieces of PIM software. There's PIM software for certain industries, PIM software for different use cases. But what's interesting is how few of those pieces of PIM software are actually on this leaders grid. It's a very few that actually made it up there. And, you know, if you look at, for example, in the UK, the office supplies industry, the stationery and office supplies industry, they all came together as an industry body and they decided to adopt one PIM solution. So all the manufacturers use the same PIM solution and all the distributors use the same PIM solution. That means that one lucky PIM provider gets monthly fee for all of these people, and it's guaranteed.
I wish I was this provider.
Yeah, what a great business model. But it essentially creates that monopoly, and the problem with it as well is that it requires everybody to adopt it. Otherwise, it's not effective. So obviously, each manufacturer they may decide I'm going to use a certain piece of PIM to manage all my product descriptions and product catalogs, and I can give access to different people and so on, and same on the distributor side. The key thing, and I'll move on to the slide here that just illustrates how kind of a PIM works, is you can see there you've got manufacturer 1, 2, and 3 that are all decided to use a specific PIM software, and it's feeding in there. And then you've got manufacturer B, C, and D who are using it. But manufacturer A and D have decided they don't like this idea of a monopoly and they're not using it. And then manufacturer one, who is using the PIM software, needs to actually supply distributor A with a different format. So it helps a little bit when certain companies adopts a PIM, but it doesn't help everybody. And there's still a lot of manual work for those people that do not adopt the PIM software.
This is a user experience question. If you don't want to use this PIM, you will not use it. Even if everybody is using it, you will see users that don't want to adopt it, and they will still use Excel sheets and this kind of data.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the solutions is to make those softwares talk between them.
Yeah, for sure. So you know, I think you look at other industries. So you look at, for example, the cell phone and mobile phone in industry. You look at Android, who have decided to, being a Google company, open up their system so everybody can build upon it. And you can see the amount of applications and the amount of use cases. And then you look at Apple, who have opened up some of their system so you can build upon it, but they're still a little bit restrictive. And then you look at Microsoft, who have locked down everything, and only if you use .NET can you do anything with Microsoft. You know, so I don't know anybody that uses a Microsoft phone.
I don't know one.
So I think what that points to is the solution for manufacturers and distributors is to get inspiration from companies like that and open up their systems to enable people to work with them better. And that's using basically APIs. It's a very technical thing. And if I just show you the next diagram, you know, you can see different manufacturers could use different. They could use PIM software. They could be using ERP systems like NetSuite or Navivision, SAP. They could be using e-commerce platforms like Magento. But as long as they create an API that allows like distributors and retailers and customers to get that information. And on the distributor side, instead of working and having a team manually inputting that information, if they then create APIs themselves, and rather the systems can talk to each other in real time. So as that warning that has to go on every product label goes out, immediately it is updated in all places, without having to worry about whether it happened and whether someone received the email and what format do they want to receive it in.
So to understand what you are talking about is we can avoid using a PIM, or we can use it if we want. And the what we need to do is to think with an open mindset about how the data should go between distributor, manufacturers, and customers. And this is the best way to do it is to use API.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think you know what that means is if a distributor or a manufacturer wants to use a PIM, they can. If they just want to carry on using their ERP system, their ERP system could even be a old server-based custom-developed system that is very difficult to use and access. But if they get developers to create an API that makes it easy to interface with that system using normal kind of LAMP-based endpoints, no, it's really easy for people to engage there. The other solution where an entire industry has to adopt a single PIM, I don't think that is scalable. And so using APIs is an alternative. Of course, you can see on this slide, the immediate question I always get when I say, you know, you should open up your systems is around security. People are extremely worried about you know, what happens if I provide an API to my distributors, and then one of my distributors gives a competitor manufacturer my API, and then they get all my information in real time, and I have no competitive edge. But you know, I think it's having an API is even more secure than having the old printed catalog, because that distributor could have taken that catalog and given it to the competitor manufacturer as well. At least with APIs, you know, the IP address of who's logged in and when they logged in, what information they pulled, how regularly they log in, is all logged. You can also say, you know, I'm only going to let this certain IP range get access to this API. So as soon as somebody that does not fit into that IP range logs on, it just gives them a security error. So, you know, I think that actually taking this approach is a lot more secure than the old approach of printing or creating a PDF. Even a locked PDF can still be hacked.
Yeah. Okay. So API is one of the first thing to think about when we want to implement an e-commerce platform. And better think API than most of the time the manufacturers think about what software do I need to choose for my platform. But maybe we should think before that about how the information will circulate between all the stakeholders.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so they're like, staying on the API topic, you know, there is certain e-commerce platforms that don't support APIs and ability to import data and so on. And so you wouldn't want to, you shouldn't just go and select a platform because it's well known. Oh, I'm going to use Magento because everybody uses Magento. Or I'm going to use Shopify because I heard it's easy to use. Or I'm going to use WooCommerce because it's more available, lots of developers. You actually first need to decide, you know, a whole load of things, including whether you're going to open this up and how you're going to keep the information updated before you select a platform.
So the next step is to define a strong strategy about pricing and which product is available for who.
Yeah, exactly. So before, like, there are three or four different categories of stuff that you really need to define before you decide on a platform. And I think the most important one is, you know, what products are you going to sell? Are you going to sell all your products? Are you going to sell some products? If you've got different sales channels already, can certain channels sell certain products and other channels not? How are you going to sort this information? How complicated is your sorting? It may be quite simple for a manufacturer, but then with a distributor where you have different brands and maybe one distributor has sizes in large, medium, and small, and the other distributor has sizes in 2, 3, and 4. It's completely different. So how are you going to sort out all that taxonomy and all those categories? And then pricing is even more complicated because, you know, with different channels, you might have different price books, you might have different currencies. You know, all of that needs to be taken into account. And just like with the API example, many of these e-commerce platforms that are readily available will only allow you to do 2 price books as an example, or maybe 1. Or maybe there's a limit of 5 price books, but if you have 10 sales channels with 10 different price books, or maybe you even have a different price book for every single customer, you've got 100 customers and every single one gets a different price. You need to make sure that you can manage that within the e-commerce platform that you have. And then, you know, also, you know, some of these platforms don't have an option for login in. So, you know, especially for B2B companies that have different price books and different channels, it's important to select an e-commerce platform that allows you to, the user arrives, they have to log in, and then it says, oh, okay, this is company B, and they see these prices in these currencies.
This is something very important for manufacturing and distributors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, this is another great question. This kind of a project of platform. How do we manage the inventory? How do we manage stocks? How does it work? And is it something which should be managed in the e-commerce platform through the e-commerce project? How can we manage this while launching this kind of platform? Because this is something that must be a great challenge for a lot of companies.
Absolutely. And yeah, I've got a really good example at the moment. Down here in South Africa, we are quarantined to our houses and we need to order products online, our groceries. And there's a 2 to 3 week waiting period once you've placed the order. That's the earliest it can be delivered. And they did not plan for a pandemic. They did not expect this many people to be ordering online. And so when we go on an order, it will tell you that there is no milk available. It's sold out. But it is sold out today. It is not sold out in 3 weeks' time when they're going to pack my order. And if I drive into to the grocery store, I can see the milk is on the shelf. I know it's there. So, you know, it's really important to think about, you know, where is this inventory going to be stored? For e-commerce, when you think of e-commerce as a channel, you may decide, well, all inventory is going to be in this one warehouse. Mm. But when you think of e-commerce as a tool for a channel, you may have different regions that you serve that the order needs to be sent to pack. You may have, you know, if you're using some sort of ERP system, does your e-commerce sync with how much stock is available? And is that future plan stock? Is that existing stock, like the example I used now? When it comes to back orders, what happens with back orders? Can back orders, if you know that you have stock in the New York warehouse, but your customer's sitting in Chicago and there isn't stock in the Chicago warehouse, are you able to get that stock from your New York warehouse, or is that not allowed? And then when it comes to actually delivery, you know, in particular for distributors, you know, you might actually go and pick up the order yourself with your own trucking, and so on. But for smaller orders or smaller distributors, you may expect the manufacturer to deliver. How is the cost calculated? Who's paying for that? Is it a free thing? Is it an add-on? All of this stuff has to be thought about before you select that e-commerce platform, because otherwise many of the well-known ones only allow for a single warehouse. They do not allow for a distributed warehouse.
Yeah, very important. Thank you. The payment, this is a hot topic too. I don't know a lot of manufacturers ready to pay with a card online. We don't see that in manufacturing transaction between distributors and end customers. Maybe in other country this is something they used to do. But for example, in France, I don't know a lot of companies ready to buy with a card or with a shop online. They want to have delayed, to have terms and condition for payment.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we did a big project for Scuderia and their car parts division, where, you know, as a mechanic working on fixing a Ferrari, you're not going to keep all the car parts in every place, because it is too expensive to hold all of those car parts just in case somebody needs a screw or a windscreen wiper or whatever it is that they need. So what they did is they created a B2B e-commerce platform where these mechanics can log on and they can say, oh, I need a screw. But the problem was that screw was so expensive that they were too scared to check out, because what if they ordered the wrong screw? And so, you know, and even if they did check it out, that they might not have that limit on their credit card. And, you know, there might be a payment arrangement with the manufacturer to say you pay on 90-day terms. Or, you know, you can't order anything without a purchase order. So, you know, yes, when people think of payments and people think of e-commerce, they think of credit cards. But when it comes to B2B e-commerce and transactions in particular between manufacturers and distributors, you need to think completely differently. You need to think about you know, different ways of payment, and maybe you need to do an integration with a invoicing system or a financial system, ERP system, to see, oh, this person currently owes us 200,000 euros and their credit limit is 205,000 euros. So if they try and check out now with another 50,000 euro order, it's going to get declined, or they're going to get a warning. Or, you know, maybe you let all mechanics in that example place orders, but they can't check out at all. Notifications go to a procurement manager who attaches a purchase order, and then it gets paid, and that all needs to be able to be tracked. So once again, a lot of the well-known e-commerce platforms only allow you to use credit cards, and they don't allow you to do the B2B type transactions.
So this is something you need to discuss with your accounting team before going to this direction.
Yeah. As we've been saying all along, you know, this e-commerce, this digital transformation, it's a strategy. It's not a tactic. Yeah. It's going to touch every single person within the company.
Not a one-time project, as you say before.
Yeah.
This is another one. We see all the problem we could have when you buy something on internet. What if I want to give back your product? I don't need it anymore, or it's not the product I was waiting for. We are going to talk about support and how you can manage this. But again, you need to have a strong strategy for this too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I think it's very related to the last slide and around or the slide before around delivery. But yeah, when it comes to returns, you know, what can get returned? Can anything get returned? Does it have to get returned to the same warehouse? Does it result in a refund, or are they returning it because it's broken? I think what I've seen so often is everybody knows that customers are going to return something, but they don't plan for that customer experience. They don't plan for that customer journey. So then when the customer actually says, well, I've received a shipment of tires, but the one has got a hole in it and I need to return it, then there isn't a defined process on how to do that. And then the customer has a bad experience. And then that immediately makes the customer think, well, let me go and try some other provider that might give me a better experience. So you really need to think of these things and don't pretend that they're not going to happen.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, for loyalty and promotions, is there any promotion on the B2B world? can we do promotion like we do on the website with a coupon or code, a promotion code? Is it something you saw ever saw on a B2B e-commerce website?
The main place that I see promotions on B2B is where there's new products, and especially when the manufacturer is diversifying into offering something that they're not well known for offering. Now, before, when you used to have the traveling salesperson, they could take a sample of the new product and they could put it on somebody's desk and say, look at this new thing that we are selling. Or they could, if it's a big thing, they could invite them for a demonstration and so on. But when you're going digital and you know, it's so easy to reorder something and so on. You need to think of ways to educate your customer that you've got new products. And one of the ways that I've seen B2B e-commerce providers do that is offer coupons for the new product lines, or maybe discounting if they add certain products into their order, that they get they receive a discount across everything. So I was in telecommunications before, and everybody knew that we provided internet connectivity, but our new products that we were trying to sell was voice over IP, and we were trying to sell hosting and co-located servers. And our customers, although we ran events and we put ads out there and everything, they still did not know that we sold them until we changed the commission model of our sales team. And by doing that, the sales team were forced to tell our customers about them. And when e-commerce is now a way that your customers are dealing with you, you need to be able to do the similar type of thing using loyalty and promotion tactics.
Yeah, thank you. Lot of options for the platform. Once you have your strategy, you have chosen the way you will will provide the product, the prices, or you organize your team. You need to choose a platform. There is a lot of options on the market. If we go, we can't describe each one. What are the options?
Yeah, so I would put them into four main categories. So you get your complete shared environment like Amazon.
Amazon is like you don't need your own platform. You only sell on Amazon, and you don't even need to build something.
Yeah, exactly. And Amazon does have a B2B marketplace, but you are limited in terms of if you've got complicated rules that you want to put into place, like the ones that we've discussed. You can't do all of that with Amazon. And similar, you know, the other cloud-based solutions like Shopify and BigCommerce, amazing, especially if you want to start learning about e-commerce and how does it work and so on. Maybe you can try one of those easy-to-use, very cost-effective solutions, but it's not going to be there forever. The server-based solutions, those are the most, you know, what's good about server-based solutions is they already have a whole bunch of functionality like add to cart and loyalty programs, and many of them have very good integrations with PIMS and that type of thing. So it's a really good starting point. And so and you can customize entirely. Otherwise, you go the entire custom route. I don't recommend the entire custom route because then you have to start developing basic e-commerce functionality. From scratch, it's going to take a really long time.
So you need to choose the right solution regarding what we talked before. What is your pricing system? How many distributors do you use? A PIM? Do you use API? And you can choose regarding those criteria.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, on this slide here, we're showing that you can't think of e-commerce as a one-off project, but you need to get started somewhere. You know, so you can't, like the question that you need to ask yourself, and this is why I recommend you work with some sort of agency or consultancy or somebody that's expert in this, is I need to create an MVP, a minimum viable product. Am I going to do this on Shopify, for example? I'm going to try it for 6 months. It's going to cost me a certain amount of money. And then once I know a little bit more about how my customers operate, I'm going to go and invest in something more enterprise with a lot more rules and price books and so on. And maybe that's on Magento, or maybe that's on Cilius or something like that. And that's going to cost me a whole lot more money. Or do I say I'm going to go with something more enterprise, but I'm only going to put two products on there now? So, you know, you've got to weigh up those different options on whether it makes sense to build on something that you may throw away, just to get started, or build on something that's more complex, but you're going to keep it for a lot longer.
Yeah. Okay. It's not a once-off project. You need to think. Most of the time, the companies that launching e-commerce platform, they build a lot of functionalities. They want to have the perfect solution. This may take a year or 2 years to be launched, and this may take a lot of money. And after that, you don't see any success with the platform because there is no more money for marketing, for APIs, for these kind of things. This is the most current problem with people launching e-commerce platform in the manufacturing environment.
Yeah, for sure. And the other problem with that, of course, is a 2 year project at the speed at which digital changes. You may think when you plan the project, you may have done something really innovative. 2 years down the line, that is old. And the industry will move on. You need to rather work in much shorter, kind of 3 to 6 month sprints, get something out there, and then improve. It's not a project. It's a way of working.
Okay. E-commerce should definitely be integrated into the CRM system. I think if you launch an e-commerce platform without this kind of integration, I can say this is a big mistake. You need to have one base for your customers, for your prospect, and you need to have this in a CRM system.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to having that single customer view and that system of record. As a organization, you probably manage your different sales channels in your CRM system. You have different sales leaders that look after different sales channels. And, you may have a strategy session and decide, well, now we're going to serve these type of customers in a different way, and they're moving over to this team or this channel. Using that example I used earlier, sometimes somebody, will go onto your e-commerce system, start an order, and then not complete the order. And you need that. The salesperson needs to know about that, and so they can follow up and go and offer assistance. Mm-hmm. And the other way around as well. Maybe the salesperson starts an order in the CRM system, but then, gives you a call and says, do you want to just go and have a look at what I've proposed here? And if you're happy with it, just hit the checkout button. And that should automatically move a deal to closed one. And if you're using a CRM system to manage your business, somebody phones in for help, you need to be able to see, they've got a million euros worth of orders sitting here on the website. They may only have 50 euros of orders sitting in the normal CRM kind of route, but this is actually a high value customer, so I need to treat them appropriately. So I know that we started off this whole the call with talking about us both being HubSpot partners, and so this may come across a bit biased, but there's only two CRM platforms that I've seen that are able to really integrate into e-commerce well, and that is the Salesforce platform. Yeah. It's got a lot of e-commerce functionality. It's very enterprise, and obviously with that comes the cost and so on. And then the other solution is the HubSpot platform. Very open, lots of APIs, that type of thing. The smaller CRMs, Zoho and Sugar and all of them, they don't play well when you try to integrate it into e-commerce. And then, anything in Microsoft, like Microsoft Dynamics, it just doesn't – Microsoft is so locked down that unless your system is built on .NET and everything, which immediately eliminates Magento and WooCommerce and all the big e-commerce providers,
You need to be full Microsoft to use Dynamics as a CRM as an e-commerce platform.
Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't want that.
Okay, the chat is a great function. When we are talking about chat, we are talking about the customer experience. When you need to have if you sell your product at every hour of the day, every day of the year, you need to be able to answer all the questions your customers may have about your product. And the chatbot chats are a great solution for that. This is, does it mean we need to have a solution which already integrate chat? Or do you add this functionality with another platform?
Yeah, so I think, you know, there are lots of chat options out there. And I think the important thing is that when you're thinking of e-commerce as a tool for a channel, you're going to have your existing customers that have existing relationships with account managers, with solutions engineers, and so on. You don't want your customer that is worth a lot of money to you to log on to your platform, ask a question, and they just go to a general team that does not understand their business, what they've bought before, where they operate, and so on. So you need to really find a chat solution that integrates probably with your CRM, because that's your system of record. And when somebody initiates a chat, that chat goes to the relevant account manager or consultant that can help that customer contextually. Yeah. I think that's really important.
Sorry. One place for all of the conversations.
Exactly. One place, and whether that customer is talking to you in email or live chat, or whether they're calling in, that there's a record of that.
Okay. This is the end of the webinar, but before we need to talk about marketing. There is a lot of challenges when you start to open API to distribute your product sheet to all your distributors. How do you avoid content duplication? How do you avoid to be punished by Google? What is the strategy?
Yeah, it's a very good question, because you know, if you suddenly used an API and your 100 distributors all have the exact same product images and the exact same descriptors, and they're all doing e-commerce, and a customer comes along and searches, they may end up on the wrong distributor's website for their needs. They may end up on the manufacturer's website, in which case you're bypassing the distributor. When it comes to paid media, it becomes even more complicated, because if you are all bidding on the same word, if you are all selling syringes, as an example, and your 100 distributors and the manufacturer are all trying to buy the Google AdWord, you're going to make that Google AdWord more expensive because it works on a bidding system. So it's really important in your distribution agreements that you build in the rules about, you know, what are you allowed to bid on? Maybe diamond distributors are allowed to bid on more keywords, and silver distributors are only allowed to bid on certain keywords. When it comes to just from an organic search point of view, the really important thing that distributors in particular need to consider is, what is the value proposition that they're offering? If you've got a distributor that's operating in the same city, in the same kind of industry, how you need to make it clear that, you know, when you order from distributor A, they, you know, every time you order, they bring you a free ice cream. And distributor B, when you order from them, you get 90-day payment terms. And you need to make sure that is really communicated on every single page of the website, so that when somebody searches, and if they really like ice cream and they've searched and so on, they're going to find distributor A, and they're going to like appreciate their value proposition over distributor B. But if, you know, you can no longer, just because you've got good SEO, just because you've got a lot of money to buy Google AdWords, that can't be your differentiator. You really need to think about what your differentiator is, and make sure that it's clearly communicated on every single page.
Have clear channel walls. Once again, you need to clean the house before going e-commerce, because a lot of manufacturing companies and distributors don't have clear defined roles, and you need maybe to make choices for the distributors you want to involve in this kind of project. This is a sometimes a difficult decision, but you need to do it if you want to grow. A lot of distributors are not going digitals, and you need to involve those who are maybe the best cases for that.
Yeah, I think the most difficult thing is where you already have a distribution program in place, and you now have to go and create new addendums to your agreements to say, because of digital, this is the new rule set. And I think, you know, as we were saying, digital moves so fast, so you're never going to be able to define the entire rule set. Next, you know, right now there's a certain ways that you can advertise and certain ways that search engines work. You know, in 6 months' time, there might be a brand new way of advertising and getting ranking, and then you're going to have to change the rule set that you have with your partners.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that.
Cool.
Maybe we have some question. It was an 1 hour webinar. So maybe the first time I did a 1 hour webinar, but this is a very hot topic, and we have great numbers of challenges to address. If you have any question, it's time to ask them in the chat panel. No, don't see any question. So thank you very much, Darren. We will send this slides, and the video will be available on demand on our website. Maybe last word for the conclusion. What are the maybe three takeaways we can learn from this webinar?
Yes, I think for me, number one is as much as this pandemic has negatively affected so many people, I think it is also an opportunity for companies, as you said, to kind of clean their house and rethink how they do business. And I think it's expected. I think, you know, the world expects change. I think secondly is think about, you know, think of, plan everything, spend a huge amount of time. If you're doing an e-commerce project, or e-commerce rollout, spend 80% of your time planning and 20% of the time building. And then thirdly, related to that is once you finish with your 80% planning, only then select the software you're going to use, to make this come to life. Don't, first select a piece of software and then try and get your e-commerce strategy to fit in with what the software is capable of doing.
Yes, it's a great one. Agree 100%. Thank you, Darren. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day and take care. and see you after this pandemic world.
Thank you.
Thank you.